The first Dáil, 69 members of Sinn Féin were elected for 73 seats. Four of them actually were elected in two constituencies. This was the 1918 election to the British Parliament. Now, there was the first election there had been after the 1916 rising, and there had been a huge change in Ireland, essentially after the 1916 rising. The sympathy that had been there before, or the sort of, people were satisfied with the idea of home rule. But after the executions, opinion very much turned to the stronger, more advanced nationalist or republican beliefs. So that when the election came up in 1918, it was essentially a contest between the Irish Parliamentary Party and Sinn Féin. Sinn Féin made it clear beforehand they were, either if they were elected, they were going to abstain from Westminster. 69 of them were elected. They wiped out the Irish Parliamentary Party effectively. It only got 6 seats, and Redmond held onto their seat in Waterford. But the 69, you know, they said they were going to set up a parliament. Now, in fact, when the first Dáil was convened in January, there were only 27 of them appeared, because pretty well all the others were in jail, either in Ireland or in England, because they were continually being interned or imprisoned for nationalist activities.
Where did they convene? Where was the building?
Oh, they were convened in the Mansion House in Dublin.
Those first TDs were not recognised by the British government, were they?
Oh, no, they didn't ban it initially. They only made it illegal some months into 1919. Their first meeting was well publicised. There was a very big crowd of people gathered outside the Mansion House to see it. But more and more, when they set up a government, as they did, well, then they were really providing an alternative administration, and they were quite effective at doing it. Effectively, they took over local government.
How did the British react to that?
Well, they didn't like it, obviously. And then they set up an alternative court system, a system for arbitration, and that for land disputes and things. And it got to the stage where even people who were of union sympathies were trying to use it. But they were more effective than the official courts, because what they were doing was undermining the existing administration. Now, the initial reaction of the British was to stamp this out, and they famously brought over Black and Tans and the auxiliaries to supplement the activities. And of course, that became very notorious, because they were pretty rough diamonds, a whole lot of them. Public opinion went more and more over towards the strong nationalist side. And what really turned the corner was in early 1918, Lloyd George, was Prime Minister, decided that they were, because of difficulties in the World War, in the war in France, they were going to impose conscription in Ireland. And everybody banded together, the parliamentary party, Sinn Féin, the bishops, the trade unions. Everybody said, you can't do that here. And they had to abandon the idea. But that gave Sinn Féin a huge amount of people coming behind them. It was probably the most significant thing in undermining British rule in Ireland.
More so even than the War of Independence.
Well, I mean, the War of Independence clearly was also extremely important. It was the atrocities that were brought about by the Black and Tans and the auxiliaries, and the effect they had on world opinion, that had at least as much effect as the actual war itself. And there came a point when Britain said, look, we can't go on like this. And a truce was called in July 1921. And from that you had negotiations, which eventually led to the treaty.
Let's look at the composition of Dáil Éireann in terms of your book, the TDs and the senators. First of all, the number of TDs altogether and senators.
In the 100 years since the first Dáil, there have been 1,780 TDs and senators. There have been about 1,302 TDs, and the remainder then were people who were senators only.
And of them, how many were women?
189 have been TDs and senators, which should be about 10.5% of the entire group.
Very small, really, isn't it?
It's very small. Now, on the other hand, I think it's worth saying that if we were talking 50 years ago, it would be altogether more dramatic. I mean, there has been a gradual growth in women becoming TDs. The second Dáil, there were 6 women TDs. That number wasn't exceeded again until 1977. And the number went into double figures for the first time in 1981. It topped 20 for the first time in 1992. And the women TDs topped 30 at the last election in 2016. And I think you'd be fairly confident that's going to grow.
Countess Markovitch was elected to the first Dáil.
Well, she was she fought in counter-insurgency during the Rising. In fact, she was condemned to death, but they wouldn't execute her because she was a woman. She was elected to the first Dáil. Well, in fact, she was elected to Westminster. She has the record of being the first woman elected an MP to Westminster. But of course, she didn't take her seat. She took her seat in the Dáil. She was the only woman in the Dáil.
She became a minister, isn't that right, in your book?
She was a minister for Labour in 1919, and she remained there till 1922. She was the first minister. I mean, there wasn't another cabinet minister until Maura Geoghegan Quinn in 1979.
Wow, that's a long gap, isn't it?
That's a long gap. But, however, there have been 18 other women cabinet ministers and 13 junior ministers since 1981. And I think there's only one direction this is going to go, because you now have a quota system. Parties won't get funded if they don't currently have 30% of their candidates who are women. And that's going to go up to 40% in 2023.
Now, there's a cultural change as well, because those women in the first 50 or so years of the Dáil, they were usually related to...
In the first 50 years, you take the period up to 1968, there were 23 women TDs. Now, 12 of them were widows of TDs who had died, and two of them were daughters of TDs. And six of the others were related to people from the War of Independence or 1916 period, like Porrick Pearce's mother and his sister were both TDs. And Tom Clark's widow was also a TD. Really, all but about three of the women in the first 50 years were all either related to a former TD or to heroes of the War of Independence.
Now, that's changed in later
times. That has changed totally. There have been only 20 women in the last 50 years who were related to somebody else. And it was just one of the newly elected people the last time. So really, when they're picking candidates for elections, any of the old business of putting up the widow, that's dead. People are there entirely on their own rights. And it's a historical anomaly almost at this stage.
Let's look then at age profiles. The longest serving TD, the longest serving senator and ages.
Well, the longest serving TD was a man called Paddy Smith. He had been active in the War of Independence in Cavan. And he was only 22 when he was elected a Republican TD in 1923. I mean, he joined Fianna Fáil in the 1940s right through to 1964. He was variously Minister for Local Government, Minister for Social Welfare and Minister for Agriculture. And he resigned as Minister for Agriculture in 1964 because he disagreed with Lamassa's policies and he felt the trade unions were dictating too much to the detriment of the farming community, which he very much represented. He was there from 1923 to 1977. He was almost 54 years as a TD.
Wow. So what now, age was he when he left?
When he retired, he was 76.
Right. And I noticed there you said he was 22. That is something about Dáil Éireann. Age profile of young people. Talk about that.
Well, I think it's very interesting. In the first Dáil, you had 11 TDs who were under 30. And in the second Dáil, you had 23 of them. So it was a very, very young group of people. It was a young person's revolution, really. Because if you look at the composition of the first and the second Dáil, almost two-thirds of the people were under the age of 40.
That is an amazing statistic, I think. Two-thirds under the age of 40.
Yeah. It is an extraordinary statistic. But it gives you an idea. This was a new state, and this was young people that had brought about the revolution. And, they weren't part of the old establishment. Now, as usually happens in these kind of things, the age profile went up. And part of the reason it went up was a lot of the people who were in the first Dáil, they were still there 40 years later. Or 45 years. And in fact, I mean, some of them around that period, I mean, we mentioned Paddy Smith was 54 years. Frank Aiken was just under 50 years. And there were quite a number of others from around that period who served more than 45 years. It's an interesting thing. 17 or 18 people have served more than 40 years in the Dáil. But only one of those has been elected in the last 50 years, and that was Enda Kenny. Among a number of other things, it's just a more competitive game, and people aren't getting elected as early, so they don't tend to last as long. It's a pretty grueling business anyway. It's probably more grueling than it was in the earlier years.
Now, was 22 the youngest, or what was the... Who and what were the youngest TDs?
Well, there have been quite a few people. They had to be 21, but the youngest has been... I mean, there have been quite a few people elected 21. In the first Dáil, Joe Sweeney was only 21 when he was elected, and he was 21 in a month or two. But the youngest of all time, of all in the last 100 years, was a man who died very recently, Billy Murphy, from Dunmanway. His father had been a minister and died, so he said, right... The Murphy names mean so much, they put up Billy, who had no interest in politics. He told me this himself, I got another man. He actually celebrated his 21st birthday during the campaign for election. He barely made it over the line when he was elected as TD. Now, he didn't stick at it, he didn't run the next time.
So he knew he didn't want it, wasn't for him. The oldest person sitting in either the Dáil or Senate,
The oldest person sitting in the Senate was Matthew Stafford. One of the founders of Fianna Fáil. De Valera appointed him a senator at the age of 85 in 1938, when he was a stalwart of the party. You know, he went back into the 19th century, into Fenians and things like that. It was great continuity. Well, she stayed there for 10 years, so he was 95 when he finally retired from the Dáil in 1948.
I think that'll give great hope to many listeners today that at 85 you can be appointed a senator and at 95 you're still there. Ageism not rife then, obviously, the way it is now.
Oh, no, it wasn't. And I mean, there were a lot of... This was stronger in the Senate. I mean, in the first Senate in 1922, the Cosgrave appointed Professor George Sigerson, was another man who'd been very big in the whole cultural Irish Ireland. He was a writer and an author. He was also a professor of biology in UCD. And he was just coming up to his 87th birthday when they appointed him a senator.
I think that's wonderful.